to God. Hallelujah. All right, so we're going to continue our teaching blueprints for spiritual maturity or spiritual growth. Are we? You said blueprints for what? Spiritual growth. Hallelujah. Let's turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 to 30. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. You know, we've been studying and seeing from scriptures how that salvation is a call to rest. Salvation is a call for us to rest. Salvation is a call for us to rest. Now let's start writing. Matthew 11, 28 to 30. Salvation is a call for us to rest, or a call into the rest of God. So are we at Matthew 11? Verse 28 to 30. Glory to God. What does it say? Come unto me, all ye that what? Are you in church? Come unto me, all ye that what? And every laden, and I'll give you what? Rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you'll find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is what? Is light. Let's start writing. The word rest. The word rest, as used at Matthew 11, 28. The word rest, as used at Matthew 11, 28. Is the Greek word anapauo. 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 That's the word rest. Verse 28. Let's keep writing. Which means to refresh. Which means to refresh. Which means to refresh. Glory to God. To refresh, to take ease. It also means to take ease. Now you find two words used, rest, in that place. Two times. 28, anapao, it means to refresh, it means to take ease. The word rest, used at verse 29. The word rest, as used at verse 29, is the Greek word anapausis. A-N-A-P-A-U-S-I-S. The word rest that used at verse 29 is the Greek word anapausis, A-N-A-P-A-U-S-I-S, which means recreation. It means recreation or relaxation. It means to be, you know, to have recreation. Praise God. You know, the idea is that of going off work, off labor, off, you know, everything that is taxing and burdensome, and then you just go and rest. Glory to God. And that's the word rest there. Let's keep writing. This state of being refreshed, is a contrast to the negative state he had described. Instead of being refreshed, the contrast to the negative state he had described. And what's that negative state now? Verse 28. To, you know, all you who labor and are what? Heavy laden. Glory to God. So that when Jesus says you will find rest, it is rest from that state. That state of weariness, labor, being heavy laden, that state of being, you know, burdened. So Jesus says, when you come to me, you are going to find rest. Hallelujah. So salvation is a call to rest. Let's put in our notes. Salvation is a call into the rest of God. Salvation is a call into the rest of God. Salvation is a call into the rest of God. Hallelujah. Salvation is a call into the rest of God. Let's keep writing. In this context, or in context, this rest is a result of the knowledge of God. In context, this rest is the result of the knowledge of God. As if you are not going to find the rest elsewhere, it is found in God's knowledge. It is found in the truth of God's word. It is found in the word of God. Hallelujah. That's why, you know, he says, come to me, all you who labor and are what? Every lady I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and do what? Learn of me. Now look at verse 27. See that it's an invitation to come and receive knowledge. It's an invitation to come and receive God's word. So while salvation is rest, it does not end there. That rest is something you experience every day. It becomes your daily experience, your daily reality, as you stay in the knowledge of God. The same knowledge that called you into God's rest is the knowledge that will make you walk in this rest. Hallelujah. So look at verse 27. Knowledge. Matthew 11, 27. All things have been what? Let's all read together. Matthew 11, 27. All things have been delivered to me by my what? Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one to whom the Son wills to what? To reveal him. So is this an invitation to knowledge? You know, it was after this, he says, come to me, all ye that labor. Hallelujah. Let me read you some versions of the Bible, amplified. It says, come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden and overburdened, and I will cause you to rest. I will ease and relieve and refresh your souls. Hallelujah. I will ease, refresh, and relieve your souls. The NCV version says, come to me, all you who are tired. Glory to God. All you who are tired and have heavy loads, and I'll give you rest. The NIV version says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. So you see that all these verses of the Bible, or these translations, make us realize that God is calling us to experience that which we did not have without him. Hallelujah. That which we were lacking up until the time when we responded to the call of salvation. Glory to God. Let's write. So there's a call to rest to those who are weary. So there is a call to rest to those who are weary. Weary, weary, the same thing. There's a call to rest to those who are weary. There is a call to rest to those who are weary. It's important to keenly note. It is important to keenly note. It's important to keenly note. Thank you, Jesus. It's important to keenly note that this rest is a product of being nourished in the knowledge of God. It's important to keenly note that this rest is a result of being nourished in the knowledge of God. It is important to keenly note or observe that this rest is a result of being nourished well in the knowledge of God. Hallelujah. It's important to keenly note that this rest is a result of being nourished in the knowledge of God. Let's keep writing. This is why the call or invitation is to come and learn from him. This is why the call or invitation is to come and learn from him. This is why the call or invitation is to come and learn from him. Hallelujah. This is why the call or invitation is to come and learn of him. By the way, how many of you notice you are improving in your writing? Are you getting faster? You should, though. Praise God. Don't be a snail for life. Hallelujah. That's what happens in school now. You start catching up. So, this is why the call or invitation is a call to come and learn of him. Now, let's look at verse 29 again. You know, he calls it the yoke. Matthew 11, 29. He says, take my yoke upon you and do what? And learn from me. What is a yoke again? A yoke is a burden. Abi? So a yoke is a burden. And Jesus says, take my yoke upon you. And what is that yoke? It's a yoke of learning. Let's put it in a note. I said it last week. That Jesus was merely playing on words. There is no yoke or burden that is easy or light. That word yoke was even the words they used to use for the bodies and the yoke. The heavy stuff they used to put at the back of donkeys in those days. So it is not light. It is not always easy. It's always heavy. So Jesus was playing on words, saying, my own burden, the only obligation I'm giving you is the obligation of listening. Hallelujah. The obligation of just receiving. So that is why it is an easy yoke and a an easy yoke and a light burden. Glory to God. So the yoke Jesus has given us is the yoke of learning. Put that in your note. The yoke Jesus has given us is the yoke of learning. It's the yoke of learning. Also, the yoke Jesus has given us is the yoke of learning. Also, the phrase gentle and lowly in heart. Also, the phrase gentle and lowly in heart. The phrase gentle or meek and lowly in heart. Also, the phrase gentle and lowly in heart is descriptive of his disposition as a shepherd. It's descriptive of his disposition as a shepherd. Also, the phrase gentle and lowly in heart is descriptive of his disposition as a shepherd. This was the opposite of what the rulers of Israel were to the people. This was the opposite of what the rulers of Israel were to the people. This was the opposite of what the rulers of Israel were to the people. You know, the Pharisees and the rulers, they used to exalt themselves above, you know, others. They had this arrogance and pride that accompanied their ministry. You know, they considered themselves to be superior to every other person. Nobody could even learn from them. You know, they used to shake people. Hallelujah. What do you know? You were born in sins. Do you want to teach? You know, that kind of attitude. Garrulous. But Jesus says, I am lowly and gentle in heart. So come and learn from me and you'll find rest for yourself. So I said, that's descriptive of his disposition or attitude as a shepherd. Glory to God. Let me read you this verse of the Bible in another translation. Amplified. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle, meek and humble, lowly in heart, and you find rest, relief, and ease, and refreshment, and recreation, and blessed quiet for your souls. That's the Amplified. It always amplifies things. Praise God. Blessed quiet, refreshing, recreation. That's what you find. Because I'm lowly and meek and gentle in heart. The NCV version, it says, accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in spirit, and you find rest for your souls. You see, it does not even use the word yoke at all, because that's the yoke, accepting the teaching. Praise God. Accept my teachings and learn from me, because I am gentle and humble in heart. Verse 30 says, the teaching that I ask you to accept is easy. The load I give you to carry is light. Glory to God. You know why the yoke is easy? We said it. It's a yoke of what? Just receiving. It is not that God is placing demands on you to do things. It is giving you the ability and the sustenance and the supply and the strength to do all that you need to do. Glory to God. So it's an easy yoke. Imagine saying, we're going to be giving free lunch. All you need to do is come and eat. That's the work we are giving you. And you say, it's too much now. Praise God. That cannot be too much work. Too much work is when you need to cook for yourself, when you need to go to the market, when you need to, you know, fend for yourself. But when it's about you just coming to partake of something that is already prepared, a ready meal, that cannot be too much work. Hallelujah. So the yoke is easy because it's just about receiving from Christ. Hallelujah. Do you get what I'm saying? That's the yoke. So how well are you bearing this yoke and burden as a Christian? Because this will determine how far you are going to go in your walk. This yoke and burden and obligation of listening is what will change the game. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. So let's write. Again, we can see that the yoke is a yoke of learning and receiving. Again, we can see that the yoke is a yoke of learning and receiving. The yoke is a yoke of learning and receiving. Again, we can see that the yoke is a yoke of learning and receiving. This is the obligation that Jesus has placed on people. This is the obligation that Jesus has placed on people. This is the obligation that Jesus has placed on people. This is the obligation that Jesus has placed on people. Weariness is the result of not being well fed Weariness is a result of not being well fed. Weariness is a result of not being well fed. That is, see, if a man is well fed with the word of God, he cannot be spiritually, you know, tired and exhausted. It's impossible. The reason why people get spiritually exhausted and tired is because they are not well fed with the word of God. You know, I said to you in this place that the only thing Bible likens to food is God's word. You don't find prayer likened to food. Do you get it? So God's word is food. God's word is not like prayer. Prayer is an activity. Prayer is an exercise. God's word is the food that nourishes you and strengthens you for that activity. So when people begin to experience spiritual exhaustion and spiritual tiredness and fatigue, it is because they are not well fed with the word of God. Hallelujah. They are not well fed. You know, in the Yoruba land, when they call you to come and do something, and then you are trying to, maybe a physical work, and then they tell you to carry something, and then you are struggling, they will say, "Koti jeunkano," you know, he has not eaten well. So because when you eat well and you are well nourished and you exercise and you grow, it becomes easy to do certain things. But without that, it becomes difficult, sometimes impossible to do those things. So weariness is a result of not being well fed. Look at Mark chapter 6. Mark chapter 6 verse 34. Mark's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 34. Mark's Gospel chapter 6 and verse 34. Are you still in church? Mark 6, 34. Bible says, "And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them because they were like sheep having not a shepherd." Sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them what? Many things. What was Jesus' response to these people who were like sheep having no shepherd? Hallelujah. You know, Bible says he was moved with compassion because they were like sheep having no what? So what did he do? He began to teach. Look at Matthew's account of the same thing. Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 to 38. Matthew 9, 36 to 38. Glory to God. Matthew 9, 36 and 38. Bible says, "But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered. Then he said to his disciples, 'The harvest is truly plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore pray the Lord of harvest to send out laborers into what is harvest.'" You know, the accounts are different. Right? The accounts are different. Why? Because in giving an eyewitness account, people capture different details. Most times, the part that resonates with you the most is the part that you capture. So, Mark records for us that Jesus started teaching. Matthew says, you know, beyond the teaching, he even desired to have more laborers, to have more people join in the work of teaching those who are weary and scattered and, you know, heavy laden. So, let's write. Mark's account show us that Jesus' first response to them was that of teaching them. Mark's account show us that Jesus' first response to them was that of teaching them. Mark's account show us that Jesus' first response to them was that of teaching them. Glory to God. He began to teach them many things. Matthew's account show us that he desired to have many more teachers. Glory to God. Many more teachers to feed the multitudes because the harvest is plenty. Matthew's account showed us that he desired to have many more teachers to feed the multitudes because the harvest is plenty. Mark's account showed us that Jesus' first response to them was to start teaching them. Matthew's account showed us that he desired to have many more teachers to feed the multitudes because the harvest is plenty. Glory to God. We're still writing. In both accounts, it's clear that the reason... In both accounts, it's clear that the reason why they were weary, was because they had no shepherd. In both accounts, it's clear that the reason why they were weary was because they had no shepherd. Let's keep writing. It's also clear that what we must strive to give to the world, is not material things first. Hallelujah. Listen, guys, I hope you know that a man can have everything in this world and still be very weary and exhausted and stressed out and, you know, no peace, no joy, no satisfaction, no fulfillment, no happiness, nothing. I told you this story once. My dad and I, we went to visit somebody, one of the big guys in Nigeria then. He was a governor. And then we got to his place. My dad went to visit, went to his upper chamber, and then they served him food. Now, as they gave him food, they brought all the delicacies. He was just looking at it. He was tired. You know, I said, they should give him gari. They should come and pack this thing. So they gave him gari and cold water. So he first took the water. You know the way we used to do? He first took the water and then he started. So he now was breathing heavily. And, you know, my dad was like, Kilo Shell, what's happening? He had no peace. You know what was the problem? His family at that point in time, they were going through a crisis. His son was into, you know, drug addiction, all kinds of things. I mean, nothing was working in the family. But, you know, there was money, there was accomplishment, it was this and that. He had all the awards from this and that. But then, no satisfaction. Amen. I heard that the man that sang this song, Be Happy, Don't Worry, eventually committed suicide. You know, that's it. That's very pathetic. How can somebody sing a song like that and still commit suicide? Because, see, a man can have everything in this world and still not be satisfied. So the first thing to give to the world is not material things. It's not anything in the natural. It's the word. It's the word of God. Amen. It's the word of God. When you see a man say, if I can just get a job, if I can just get this, if I can just... He thinks his happiness is tied to those things. If you get all this, you will still not be satisfied. The Bible says the life of a man does not consist in the abundance of the things that he has. So it's not about all these things. It's about finding satisfaction in God. I said to you last week that the soul of man is larger than this life. The soul of man is larger than any material things. Why? Because the soul of man did not come from the material world. It came from God. Colossians chapter 1, 16, 17. All things were made for Christ and were made by Christ and for Him. That's why Jesus would say, what does it profit a man? No. That profits the whole world. He gains everything, but then loses his soul. Because his soul is more precious than the whole world put together. Glory to God. So the soul of man is bigger than all these things. Nothing material can satisfy him or fill that void. Nothing. You know, the only place that you get satisfied when you put on a good cloth is where? Where do you get satisfied when you wear a good cloth? Huh? Just feel free, just say. Where do you get satisfied? Your mind, Abi. Your mind, your feelings. And do you know you can wear a very solid material and feel down and be feeling depressed? Even because of the clothes you wore. Have you noticed that people go for award, all these musicians, the man in his mind, he has dressed. You know? Or maybe the woman, he has dressed. In fact, the tailor, the fashion designer labored on the cloth. They're now doing a style like maybe the back of a duck. Amen. It's so elegant. It's fine. They look in the mirror and say, if you get there like this, you will kill it. You will kill it. Eventually gets there and kills it. Praise God. What does it kill? People's joy. By the next day, the whole of social media is, you know, it's a matter that is trending. They can come on your case that you will feel bad for wearing what you wore. They didn't pay for it, though. They didn't sponsor you. They were not there, but you can feel bad. Another person will come there with t-shirts and be fine. In that, you know, because the attention is not on it. Glory to God. So, there is nothing in this world that can fill that void in man. If you eat food, where do you get satisfied? You know, it's not first about the mind. It's about the belly, your body. Because I've not seen anybody admiring food and is satisfied. If you admire, and they carry it. You know, that's why people want to cry at wedding or, the, you know, naming ceremony. They are passing, we are coming. And they forget that side. The guy is hungry. Hallelujah. We are very sorry. We taught themselves. Hey, sorry. You don't know your work. You do give them money. People are angry when you bypass them at receptions. Praise God. Because it's beyond what they saw. In fact, you know, it is torment to perceive the aroma, to see it, and not eat it. It's serious torment. Glory to God. Perceive the earth, and that's why all these people used to put in on their DP or their status. Put, you know, some people are just wicked. Monday morning, you see all kinds of assorted things. What is this? Hallelujah. Things that will not touch your mouth. You say, this is just for you. Come and join me. Ah. Serious torment. So, nothing in this world can satisfy a man. Hallelujah. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5 and verse 10. I think we saw this last week. But let's see it again. Ecclesiastes 5, 10 to 11. Nothing in the material world can satisfy man, because the man, the soul of man itself did not come from the material world. It came from God. So, you are going to be satisfied only by your source. The body of man will be satisfied by everything on the earth. I hope you know that if you eat, your body will be satisfied. You know why? Because your body came from the earth. But your soul, until you are fed on the word of God, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Until you feed on the word of God, your soul will not find sustenance or nourishment. Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Are you still here? Are you still in church? When I ask those questions, I'm serious about it. Some people are here bodily, praise God, but they've gone. They've gone. Today is Easter. Probably you've gotten different invitations. You know, there's a party happening, dusk to dawn. And you don't want to be too tired so that you'll be able to participate in that party. Just bring your mind here. If Ecclesiastes 5, 10 to 11, are we there? I says, he who loves silver will not be satisfied with what? He who loves silver will not be satisfied with what? I thought you'll be satisfied with silver. One time they asked the question in a fellowship. They said, if you, how much would you get that will satisfy you? The person said, leave me time, give me time, let me think. $1 billion. So the pastor said, joking boy. Do you know this $1 billion is in somebody's hand and he's not satisfied? Amen. $1 billion. You'll be very glad. But the moment you remove 1 naira from it, it is no longer $1 billion. So you're like, no. We must. You know, some people struggle to, they like even numbers. Amen. They give you 20,000. You don't want to spoil the money. Say, I cannot remove it. I can give you 5K so that it will now be 15. I need 10 naira to buy sugar. No, I can't spoil this money. It's 15K. You got, Some people are addicted to new notes. Amen. It's not the person you think. New notes. Hallelujah. Yesterday, I was trying to give, 2 days ago, I was trying to give somebody money. So some new notes came with the money. So as I wanted to pay 10,000 naira out of 15K, I was now removing the new notes for myself. So as I was doing, I just said, what is this here? Vanity. Well, I just scattered the OT. I just picked the dirty ones. You know, that addiction to things. I said, I must repent from this thing. Praise God. I just let it go. You like it. He who loves silver will not be what? He who loves new notes shall not be satisfied. Because the new notes will still be spent. And it can be dirty. Hallelujah. Told the story in this place of a man who was so attached to material things. He had an accident. He lost his arm. The first thing that came to his head was my Rolex. True story. He was on the floor. His arm was gone. And he looked at it and he, oh, my Rolex. It was the Rolex he remembered, and people had to remind him. But no, guy, it's not only Rolex that has gone. Your hand. That's how deep materialism can, you know, cut through a man. Glory to God. I also said, that's why you find the way people react to things. You buy a car, you now lend maybe Perez, as he's believing God for his own. Praise God. And then as he's about to make a corner or a U-turn from this church like this, he just bashes a keke na pep or a bike man. And then the bumper falls down. A car you just bought yesterday. Glory to God. That's even very mild. On his way to Mr. Biggs, there's a head-on collision. Bah! The bonnet! Squeeze. You know all those things that they write off. And as the call, he said, the accident, he said, I hope he's mad. That he's not mad. Oh, it's total write-off. Hey? And you know, the first thing that will come into the mind of a materialistic person is my car. What about Brother Perez that was in the car? Do you get what I'm saying? What about Perez that was in the car? Is his life not more than the car to you? But a materialistic person, the car is more important than all the brothers in this church. I mean, you can go. Amen. All the brothers can perish as long as I have my car. That's the reason why some people select those who they give lift. Some people are too dirty to enter your car. You know, it's too dirty. It's not clean. Praise God. We value things more than we value people. It's a terrible state. Carry anybody you want to carry. When they are gone, you clean your car. It's simple. Do you get? So, that's the reason why somebody will break the plate in your kitchen, and the first thing in your head, don't do that. That's the plate I used to eat. You didn't first ask, what about your leg? I hope you didn't get wounded. You know, your mind is first about the material thing. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. You know, one of the ways to detach yourself from things, it is to give people the thing that you wanted desperately, you bought it, give it out. Hallelujah. That cloth, I will get it. You now get it. After getting it, I say, who can I give? You give it. Amen. Someone says, I cannot give it out. Some people struggle to give out old clothes. Old clothes. When last did you wear this? December 1986. Give it out now. No, I may still need it in 2024. He is so attached to the thing. Yet, there is no satisfaction in those things. Glory to God. There is no satisfaction. Some people were born like this. Hallelujah. Akagom. What? They can't part with anything. Right from childhood, those traits are there. The moment they ask you for things, your mood spoils. Give me something, just change your mood. Hallelujah. How many of you can part with your meat that you've been eating all the rice, you've been keeping your meat? Somebody now comes in and says, wow, very great. And she says, move the buy me real. Oh, buy me real. Oh, buy me real. Hey, yo. Meat. Praise God. You should have come early to eat rice. Glory to God. It's a serious problem. You should be able to let the meat go. And say, meat. You see this meat, if you know the problem it has caused in people's body, this thing you are holding on to. Glory to God. Maybe that was the meat you were going to eat to. Don't let it go. Ecclesiastes 5:11, what does it say? He who loves silver will not be satisfied with what? And he who loves gold will not be satisfied with what? Okay, or he who loves abundance with increase. This is also vanity. Have you seen that before? The person that loves abundance, increase will not satisfy him. Because your satisfaction cannot come from anything material. Amen. It cannot come. You can buy Bentley, and the day you want to commit suicide, it is that same Bentley you go and commit suicide inside. You drink, Sniper inside the Bentley. The what of the Bentley will not be. Do you know what is called despair and hopelessness? Everything is dark and gloomy. You are looking everywhere. Nothing is bright. None of your possessions will be able to stop you from making a life-destroying decision. Because satisfaction does not come from things. Say to your neighbor, satisfaction does not come from things. Say it again, satisfaction does not come from things. The satisfaction is only found in God. In God your source. Hallelujah. In God your source. That is the only place you're going to find satisfaction. Let's keep right. Let's keep right. So a man can have all the good things of life and still not be satisfied. A man can have all the good things of life and still not be satisfied. That's the reality. Everything. You have everything and you're still not satisfied. Glory to God. There are billionaires who are very stingy. Billionaires. They cannot give. They always collect. You go and greet him. He still says, oh, they buy me a bread. You know? Somebody told me a story of somebody like that. Far richer than every one of them, but he was the one collecting. What's the problem? Glory to God. Because that was how he became rich. Just by collecting and gathering. So, you can have all things and still not be satisfied. Glory to God. While there are those who lack things or have little and have joy. While there are those who have little or lack and have joy. They have joy. It's inexplicable. Glory to God. They have little and they are content. They have joy. Why are you dead? Why are you depressed? Man, you know, that my dream car. It just, man, I got an opportunity for you. It just went like that. They didn't pay me my salary on time to complete the money. And that's why you're depressed. Somebody else is not even pursuing any car. Does not even have any ambition to buy a car in the moment. And then the person is excited, happy, strong. Is the one giving you consolation. It will be okay. It will be fine. Because see, it's about the state of every individual. Glory to God. And you know, many times, believers don't like understanding contentment from the Bible. We'd rather go with earthly philosophies. Contentment is not mediocrity. Before you go that route, amen, let's first talk about what contentment is. Do you get what I'm saying? They just quickly want to use ethnic philosophy. It's not mediocrity because in their minds, they don't want anything that would cut them away from that chase. You know? That wild chase, that rat race, they don't want any discouragement. It's not mediocrity. Our God is not a poor God. Wait here, come here. What is contentment? 1 Timothy chapter 6. What is contentment? Because we are going to know if you are content now. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Bible definition. Biblical words must be defined in the context of the Bible. You don't say contentment and go and be checking Oxford Dictionary. Contentment must be defined based on the context. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Are you here? Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh boy. You see that this describes the very life that Jesus lived. Whether you are rich or you are not rich, contentment is a disposition you must have at all times. So that even when there are riches in your hands like this and you have wealth, that contentment is the reason why your wealth will not control you. Amen. It's a state, it's a blessed state. 1 Timothy chapter 6, are you there now? And I'll read from verse 3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which are caused with godliness, he is proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions of useless wranglings of men of corrupt minds, who destitute of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. From such withdraw your what? Verse 6. Now godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing. Verse 8. Let's all read.
with this.
Hey. What is contentment here? Food and clothing, we shall be. Glory to God. So are you content? Do you know what it means? It means with food and clothing, there's no desperation to get things. As long as that one is steady. While things will get better, while situations can improve, once I have food and clothing, I'm not under any pressure. But yeah, something is wrong. My life is about to... No. Do you know why? Because food and clothing, those are necessities. Nobody should walk naked on the street. Amen. Nobody should go to bed hungry. So that's why in the early church, they were not catering to people's luxuries and their, you know, whatever they wanted. They catered to those immediate needs. They catered for food. They catered for clothing. They accommodated people also. Those were the essentials. So Paul is saying, with food and clothing, we shall be what? There will be no desperation. Hallelujah. There will be no desperation. There will be no, wow, I was getting now or I die. No. And I said this in this church before. This is the definition of a poor man in the Bible. A poor man is somebody who cannot feed and clothe himself. It is not a man who cannot, you know, buy a jet. So there are people who are poor. There are people who are wealthy. The opposite of being wealthy is poor. Amen. But then there's always a middle class. People who, they are neither wealthy and they are not poor. Because if you read scriptures very well, a poor man is a beggarly person. Somebody who has to depend on people in order to find sustenance. Glory to God. So, you don't consider yourself to be poor until you cannot fend for yourself in those basic things. Amen. That's the biblical definition. So, should I be content with food and raiment? Yes. Hallelujah. Yes. There should be no desperation on my part until I'm out of those basic, I'm losing ground and I cannot feed myself those basic necessities of life. Glory to God. Because whether you like it or not, if you are working, things will get better. I hope you know. Things will get better. If you are working, if you are doing your best in your career, things will get better. You'll be able to, you know, get things. Simple. But you don't lose your mind or your sanity over those things. As long as food is coming. Amen. And then you have your clothes. Good. And I gave you a cheat code in this place last week. Don't break the bank trying to look good. Hallelujah. Don't break the bank trying to look good. As I am now, I cannot be buying 20,000 t-shirts. Be buying 10. For what? Amen. For what? Even my phone, I did not buy. When the screen got spoiled, I said, oh, my Lord, praise God. Because I bought that phone. I spent money to buy it. And then they tricked me. And then the screen was not working fine. I got to know later. I said, no. My wife said, buy it new. I'm not buying. Leave me alone. Praise God. And I was just using it like that. You know the funny thing? That phone crashed yesterday. It just crashed in the night. And then on Friday, somebody had given me a brand new phone. So, hallelujah. Somebody had given me a brand new phone on Friday. And on Saturday, it just came to me, swap, change this phone. I just left it. And by night, it just crashed. So, and the only thing that worried me or gave me concern was the devotional. I was like, I won't be able to post this night. I know. So it just came to me, you can quickly get your backup from WhatsApp. And I did that, and that was it. And I was like, wow, God, I mean, ahead of time, saw a need, and he had met it. Glory to God. No agitation, no worry over sanity. See, let me tell you this. Many of the things that have become like necessities in our lives today, they are the result of the modern world we are living in. I'm telling you. Communication. There was a time when, I mean, if somebody was traveling to the U.S., you may not hear from them in the next 1 year or 6 months. Because the letter would take like 3 months to get there. The letter that they will send also would take 3 months. Praise God. And you know, but everybody was fine. If you were not fine, you were not fine on here. So what is the difference? Listen, what is the difference? It's not like you can cuckoo change anything. If he crashed on his way, it's not like you can change anything. It's just that you knew on time. I hope you know what I'm saying. You just found out quickly because now there's WhatsApp. If you found out 6 months later, wow, there was nothing you could have done 6 months ago than to mourn. So you just postponed your day of sadness. It's simple. So those things we consider to be necessities, they are not really necessities. See, if you put off your phone, the world will not crash. Yeah, I've taken my phone away. Man, how are people faring now? How are people? See, people are really faring. They are doing well. That's why when you drop dead today, they delete your number. Yes. There's no need. You are gone. You are not as important to people as you think. Oh. Glory to God. So those necessities, they are as a result of the urban world we have created and we are living in. They are not really necessities. Biblical, you know, definition of necessities are things that our lives depend on really for survival. Things we cannot do without. If you don't drink water in few days, even fella had the revelation. Praise God. Say, oh, Miolota, if you don't take water, you will die. If you don't eat, you will die. If there's no clothes, you'll be put to shame. Those are the necessities. As long as those ones are in place, my brother, be content. Hallelujah. Be what? No desperation. And then you keep doing what you are doing because you need sanity to even prosper in whatever you are doing. If your mind is messed up, you cannot do well. So you need your sanity. And that's biblical definition of contentment. Glory to God. See, this is my own standpoint. Whatever I need that does not show up immediately is not a need. If I can live 2 days, more days without it and be okay, it is not a need like I think. Hallelujah. When it becomes a need, I trust that something will happen. A miracle will happen. For me, I've lived like that over the years. God will show up for me. Hallelujah. The moment it becomes a necessity, I've told this story twice in this place. One time, I wanted to pay house rent in Ghana. And then God used somebody that was stingy. So stingy. He has never given me 1,000 naira before. He comes to our place. He has never... That was the person God used to send me the exact house rent in Ghana. I didn't call home. I didn't call him. A stingy man. You know? The same way ravens were the ones taking meat to Elijah. That's what they loved the most. So they now went to give Elijah. So God used a stingy man. That was the first and the last Alpha and Omega of the time he gave me money. To let you know, it was a miracle. Also, there was a time I had blown my school fees because of a bad investment. You know, I didn't know that investment, when they do advert and they say, in 2 months, it's not 2 months. It may not happen. You may not reap anything. But when they do the advert, it is like, wow, some people have been doing it. We have a track record of 60 years. Our grandfather started this business. We've never failed. We'll never fail. Nothing is impossible with us. You quickly put all your money there. That is the day they will fail. Praise God. I'm telling you what I know. That's why I went to pack my money, put it in there. School fees. See, the system hung like this before me. My life was flashing away before me. I said, hey, stop this internet. Stop. It has hung. Stop this. The money was going. Hey! I just sat before the screen like this. Wala today. I can't even call home. For what? Yeah, are you stupid? Your school fees. I was just walking home. Thank you. I knew I had messed up big time. You know what happened? I woke up the following day. I just got a bank alert. The exact money. Put my ATM card. I didn't even know who sent it. I don't want to know. I just collected everything. I went, paid my school fees. When I came back to Nigeria, I just saw a letter waiting for me in the house. They are giving my parents. I read it. Kenico Bank of Nigeria, we are sorry. There was an honest so day. There was an error in the bank. Error that sent me the exact money I needed. That was a loan. Praise God. A loan, a supernatural loan. And so I went to the bank and then we had a meeting. So I began to pay them at my convenience. You know, I couldn't have gotten a loan from our banks. Well, how much do I have? They gave me the exact loan. I was too glad. Hallelujah. You know, because, see, at that point, it had become a need. The stuff was going to close. Even in my mistake, God came through for me. Hallelujah. And that's how God is. It's a life of trust. Amen. So see, if I'm desperate about something and nothing is happening, in my mind, I'll just say, see, it's not important to God. God doesn't see it as a necessity. So I let it go. Hallelujah. I let it go. So with food and clothing, let us be what? Content. Glory to God. So put in your notes, contentment according to scriptures. Contentment according to scriptures is having food and clothing. Contentment, according to scriptures, is having food and clothing. See, we are going to have to explain some of the things Paul said here. You have to understand it. Contentment, according to scriptures, is having food and clothing, and to have no desperation, no desperation to get anything by at all cost. To have no desperation to get anything at all cost. Glory be to God. We're going to have to explain this. Now look at the same chapter. 1 Timothy chapter 6. From verse 9. It says, but those who desire to be rich fall into what? Temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. Those who desire to be rich, what happens to them? They fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. You know, why do people even fall for schemes and all those things? You know, it's because they are driven by a desire for wealth. There are certain adverts that don't appeal to me again. They don't. Once I see it like this, I say, I mean, we were there before, we know. Nothing good will come out of it. Amen. All those get rich quick schemes, nothing good comes out of them. I saw one advert last night. How to grow 938 naira to 134,000 naira in the next 3 months. If you have grown your own, will you be doing advert? It's a deception. So when you have a crazy wild desire for riches and all that, many things are bound to come your way that will put you into trouble. Glory be to God. Just put you into trouble. So, is there any scriptural position for saying we should desire wealth? No. What is the position we have? To trust in the Lord with all our hearts, lean not on our understanding. In all our ways to do what? Acknowledge Him. And He will direct our... The love should not be for things. It should be for Him. So, God directs your path. It can lead you in the way of plenty. And I've said this before, not everybody will get the wealth we used to talk about. That's why there's instruction in scriptures to practice generosity. That's why the rich is admonished to share and give. I believe strongly that if a man has 100 million naira, he's meant to make many more people comfortable. Do you get what I'm saying? See, that is God's disposition. If somebody in this church has 250 million naira and he gives testimony and says, contract, God has finally done it, and goes to sit down. After service, he takes exam. He says, Pastor, amen, I was just blown away. You are not blown away. Come here. You must not be blown away. What is happening? The money is in my account. When are they going to release it? When will it touch your hand? It's already in my account, but I cannot really access. Go and access it. Find out to access it. He goes. He comes back next week. He worships with us, lifts up holy hands, he's excited, God has been good to me. He goes back home. No, we'll call him again. Emoji, is this the word? Hallelujah. Is this the word? Because I expect to see the sign that you have now prospered in certain people's lives. I expect to see it. You should buy a car for somebody, help somebody pay school fees. That is how these things are done. That is how these things are done. Someone says, is it your money? Is it our money? Is it not our same father? It's our money. Glory to God. Hallelujah. So it's funny. If that same person was at the receiving end, he would not say, is it your money? He will enjoy it. That is what we are taught in scriptures. So nobody should be seeking to break through alone. Everybody, when I now break through, I now say, you too, our God, He's faithful. I cannot deceive you. If you pray, are you coming? What are you saying? I pray, I fast. But it's not everybody that will have wealth. Glory to God. Yeah, because there's a system of the world that makes these things impossible. It's an inequality system. So we have to share. I would say, do not forget to give and to share, for with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. You know, we like to talk about the prosperity of Joseph. Was Joseph prospered for himself? All the people we talk about their prosperity in the Bible that followed God, were they prospered for themselves? No. Imagine a whole nation benefited from Joseph's wisdom. and then his family, including those who betrayed him. That's how these things, that's how God sees it. And it doesn't start with 250 million naira. It starts with 50k in your hand, 100,000 naira in your hand. Who is chopping your money here? Ask your neighbor. Ask your neighbor now. Some people, nobody is enjoying their money here. Nobody is enjoying their money here. As the salary is coming, 100,000 naira, he's already budgeted everything. Everything. He said, "Koti e to mi go." Sorry, konito e. Hallelujah. See, till you die, you always have needs, wants that exceed your money. The man that has $2 billion has projects of $6 billion in view. You will never get to a point where your money will be more than your wants. If it's your needs, okay. But your wants, the things you can want to have. Hallelujah. Say, I'm going to buy a BMW. Or maybe just on that end of discussion or beginning of conversation. Whatever. Because you are thinking, a money is coming to you and you get some 6 million or 5 million naira from the contract. Suddenly, you make 1 billion naira. It is no longer Honda. It's now Tesla. Electrical. But MOG, how do you drive it here? I'll bring the company here. Praise God. They will make my road for me. You now enlarge your coast. So you will get other ones that are now more demanding. 1 billion naira is not enough. Glory to God. So you must quickly define for yourself what contentment is according to scriptures. Praise God. So look at the instruction at 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy chapter 6. 1 Timothy 6, are we here? And I'll read from verse 17. Command those who are rich in this present age not to be haughty, nor to trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who gives us richly all things to what? To enjoy. Let them do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to give, willing to share. You know, a carnal man reads it and stops at verse 17. He gives us all things richly to enjoy, to enjoy, to enjoy. Verse 18, to enjoy with the brethren. Hallelujah. Did you see that? It is to enjoy with the people, with others. Let them do good and share. So it's not just your own enjoyment, it's to enjoy with the people of God. The more you have, the more you should give. Glory to God. And generosity is not learned when people become rich. It is from when you don't have much. You cannot share 50 naira. You cannot share 50 million. Those people that ordered Indomie, go and check them very well. They could not share the one they cooked in the pot. So when they had the warehouse, they had to eat everything. Hoarding. It's a lifestyle. Hallelujah. The lifestyle. We met people like that growing up. We used to have a friend. My brother used to have a friend back in school then. During break time, he'll follow us. We'll buy bread, fish, Fanta. We're secondary school students. Everybody eating, enjoying their lives, chopping the life of our head. Whenever this guy has money, he just goes missing during break. We'll not see him. One day, my brother now caught him. He had bought this normal stuff, eating it under a tree. Praise God. Hallelujah. He said, you are so stingy. People that were feeding you, helping you. I told this story also on Every Day with Jesus. Myself and my younger brother were in Ghana. We accommodated somebody and we were eating our food together. We ate the last cup of rice. When we were done, he said, there's no money. We wait for money from the house. He waited till we got money from the house. We were eating everything together. We'll go and buy food outside. We'll buy for him. We were taking care of him like an orphan. Unknown to us, he had food. So when we vacated, we went home. He also had to leave because he was cutting with us. By the time we came back from Nigeria, he was packing his stuff. We just saw all these weevils coming out, ants and insects, rice in a sack, beans in a sack, yam. Hallelujah. All spoiled. You're pitying him. That's how vain life is. My brother was very heartbroken because he was his friend. So why were you ordering this stuff? You knew how we didn't have food. You knew how we had to wait, starve on some days before money came. The guy said, you know, my new apartment, I was waiting for when I'll get the apartment. So I had to start my life there, you know. You not start your... Hallelujah. You want to curse the person. Start life. It was so bad. So, see, people are just tied to things. They are selfish. Praise God. They are selfish. If you are here, you are like that. And as I'm saying this story, you are not laughing. I know. Yeah. You are selfish. Nobody has reported you. It's just that there are people like that. Very selfish people. You know, it's like we are heaping coals of fire on the head of that person. Am I being no? Hallelujah. Just repent so that you'll not be at the sharp side of this sword next time. So, it's really about learning contentment according to scriptures and staying right there. Glory be to God. So I said, you know, people can have everything and still not be satisfied. People can have everything, be not okay, be not fulfilled. People can have less and be alright. Can have less and be what? Alright. You know, there's something called inner strength. I hope you know. There's something called inner strength. Where the man is strong, but there is nothing on the outside that should make him strong. He has gone through every trial. He has gone through every difficult time you can imagine. But he's still standing strong. Inner strength. Glory to God. Let's write. Nothing gives man strength. Or nothing strengthens a man like the word of God. Nothing strengthens a man like the word of God. Nothing strengthens a man like the word of God. Hallelujah. Nothing. There's something called inner strength. Put in your notes. There's something called inner strength. Oh boy. That inner strength is what you need to carry on in life. The strength on the outside will fade. It will fail. There's something called inner strength, which is found only in God's word. Which is found only in God's word. Which is found only in God's word. Glory to God. Something called inner strength, which is found only in God's word. Food cannot enrich the human soul. I'll be closing because I want us to have a breakout session where we just discuss 20 minutes and I'll give you the key subject for discussion. So, food cannot enrich the human soul. Food cannot enrich the human soul. Entertainment excites and feeds the intellect. Entertainment excites and feeds the intellect. Entertainment excites and feeds the intellect, but only the word of God nourishes our souls. You know, that's why Jesus, his emphasis was, you'll find rest for your soul. Your brain can be, you know, your brain works with chemicals. Your brain can be intrigued, can be excited, can be, you know, thrilled by anything in the world. But the only thing that nourishes and satisfies the soul of man is God's word. You find rest for your soul. So with or without entertainment, the man is just fine. Glory to God. The man is just fine. I love watching movies for one reason, because movies is like traveling around the world without leaving wherever you are. You can know different cultures. You can get to find out things. You learn new words. Also, movies help build your creative instincts. There are things you see. So, movies, very fine. But you know, the time I went off movies, it was deliberate. And I'm trying to find that passion back. Just because of my wife. She likes to watch movies. So, I went off movies. I said, for throughout this year, I will not watch movie. I will not even see anything on the TV. And I went off it. Second year, third, and I did that for 4 to 5 years. So by the time I came back to it, it was quite difficult to continue that culture. But I've been trying now, praise God. I will watch a movie for 2 days. Amen. Watch, count me out of series for now. Amen. God is still helping my faith. So, but what I'm saying is, there are people who cannot do without those things. You feel that, if you don't. And it is not really bad to watch them. Amen. It is that the reason for watching is that People say, I'm bored. Have you gotten what I'm saying? I'm getting bored. Getting bored. So, let's watch a movie. If you watch movie out of boredom, there's a problem. There is what? A problem. Do you know that's the same reason people drink? That's why when there's problem, the first thing he reaches out to is his bottles. And he begins to drink. Praise God. That's the reason why many people watch movies. He's bored. He has no plans to learn anything. He has no plan to be entertained, really. It's just that he's feeling bored, empty, dissatisfied. So he's looking for something to make him lively. That should not be why you watch movies as a Christian. Hallelujah. That's the same reason people get drunk on comedy. That's the same reason people get drunk on sports. Amen. You think those who watch football, you think they have joy? Until you go to a viewing center. Amen. A viewing center. Because if you did not come with joy to watch, you can't get joy from the match. Hallelujah. There will be a lot of arguments, disruption, people will fight themselves. The last time I went to a viewing center was at Ijagun. I was in school then, 2006. So I was there. We were supporting a club. That's how fight broke out after the football match. Eh? Somebody broke butt. Ile, peace. I said, Amy, ball awa wo. Someone will break my head with bottle. The people that lost the match, they went and part. They went to heat. They went to rest. They went to we fans. Hallelujah. I said, in my life, I will not go to viewing center again. Hallelujah. And if I ever go, maybe because I want to accompany a friend, if I ever go, ori lala conviction. This is how I'll be very vigilant and alert. After the match, I'm gone. So, people are doing all those things because they are bored. They are tired. They are trying to use those things as coping mechanisms. Trying to fight boredom. But it's a failed strategy. Glory to God. Because you will get so drunk on it, it will not satisfy you again. Hallelujah. It will not satisfy you again. You know, we can sap the laughter out of a comedy. Do you know? You laugh till it's not funny again. Play it again. Play another one. Play it again. Play me. Oh, it's gone. They say it's now stale. The satisfaction was not in that, you know. You were just trying to catch cruise, trying to enjoy. So you now discover that it has got you to a point where, whoa, go. Hallelujah. There's this biscuit that came out one time. They used to call it Speedy. How many of you remember Speedy? I want to tell me, Speedy. We ate Speedy with so much speed. We everywhere. Speedy. It got one day. I tasted the thing. Why did I ever like this biscuit? I hated everything in it. Praise God. McVitie's digestive biscuit. I used to like it. The chocolate one, especially with chocolate. I ate it to a point where I got tired. Amen. But every time I read my Bible again, it is fresh. It will do to me the thing it did to me the first time. The edification is always there. Glory to God. That's what we're talking about. Because see, that is the only one you cannot sap every goodness that is in it. You can't know. It's larger than life. Glory be to God. Let's see Ephesians chapter 3. There's something called inner strength. And that strength is what we need. Not all this facade, not all this disguised strength that we get from other things. Those things are fleeting, transient, passing away. Hallelujah. Ephesians in chapter 3, verse 14 to 19. Thank God for the word. Thank God for the word. Ephesians 3, 14 to 19. Are you there? I was saying, for this reason I bow my knees to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, to be what? To be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. Hallelujah.
That Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being grounded and rooted in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of God which passes knowledge, and that you may be filled with all the fullness of what? Of God. Hallelujah. Have you seen that there's something called inner strength? To be strengthened with might within. Nothing on the external can give this kind of strength. And this is the strength you need to walk through life. Walk through circumstances. When there's fire, you walk through it as though there's no fire. Through the waters, you are fine. In the valley, you are okay. On the mountain, you are fine. Because there's strength. Hallelujah. There's strength. Look at this now. So this strength, let's write. This strength is from the Word of God. This strength is from the Word of God. You cannot explain it. The man by now ought to have been broken, ought to have been downcast, but he's still trudging on. He's still fine. He's still moving on gallantly as though nothing is wrong. He's strong. This strength is from the Word of God. It's an inner state. It's an inner state. It's an inner state that produces mental strength. It's an inner state that produces mental strength. Have you heard of people who they say nothing gets at him? You know? I mean, you want to break him. You want for some, it's not even from the word they have that kind of thing. For some, it's that they don't send anybody. But we're not talking about the man who is garrulous and, you know, condescending. I'm saying a man who, by the Word of God, he has been fortified so much, is now so strong. You can't get at him easily. You can't pull him down. Praise God. He's not moved. It's an inner strength. What is the cause of depression? We saw it last week. Anxiety. Abi? Do you know that anxiety comes from many sources? Do you know at your workplace they can make you depressed? By the things they say to you every day. Life and death is in the power of where? You know somebody can kill your morale, can kill your esteem by what he says every day. You go to work and they say, I don't even know how you graduated. I graduated, sir. Praise God. I'm not saying you did not graduate. I'm saying I don't know how you graduated. What do you mean, sir? I know, because they are too dull. Their bosses like that. Tongues sharp as a razor. The workplace is toxic. They will make life unbearable for you. You left school. You thought you escaped the worst of it or your lecturers. Your boss is worse. But you know, there are people, they will say all those things too, and they'll be laughing. They'll be smiling. Okay? Funny, gotcha. Okay? You know, eh? Because, see, that whatever you were saying did not make sense to you. How did I graduate? You always know what school mean? Let's go. I graduated. You are done. I know I'm not done. Last, I'll withdraw from the place. No, see, nobody can kill my morale. You are not this. You are not this. I know who I am. Do you get what I'm saying? I know who I am. Anytime I hear people say, my boss is doing this, that's what I used to tell them. Know yourself, walk in the reality of who you are. What comes to the worst, leave. And the day you want to leave, go and have a heart-to-heart talk with your boss. Because that day you are leaving. Praise God. Say, sir, and you, da, you talk anyhow. And you, jagba, you talk anyhow. Amen. Yeah, because I've submitted resignation, he's not my boss anymore. You talk anyhow. Why are you leaving? You know, they used to ask those questions. So why then are you... I'm leaving because your mouth is bad. Praise God. Your mouth is bad. How do you raise your children? Person say, yes, I pity your wife. You know, it's time for him to hear it. That's not vengeance. So it's to let him know why you are leaving. Glory to God. I'm serious about this. So the day I left my boss, I told him the truth. This is why I'm leaving. You are dishonest. You don't pay money. And when it's time to pay, you'll be dribbling us. I don't appreciate it. I told him the word of his life. And I left. Hallelujah. Do it with wisdom, oh, if they have security and all those things. Go and send a text message. Hallelujah. As you are walking out of the place, like the great power of God, you don't bond you. And no pa. So, do it with wisdom. If it's a place where you can go and send text message or an email, glory to God. Nobody should be able to kill your self-esteem. Nobody. Hallelujah. Because you know who you are. So inner strength. Let's see this other place now. Philippians chapter 4. That's what we're talking about. Strength beyond what is happening on the outside. The seasons of life. As long as I'm in a workplace, man, I will cooperate. I will say nothing. It's Bible instruction. I will say nothing. But the day I leave, I'm not your worker anymore. I'm now your fellow citizen. Praise God. Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. Philippians 4:13. Can you be talking anyhow? You talk anyhow. You are good for nothing, but you employed me. Philippians 4, are you there? Verse 13, that's what Paul was talking about. He says, what does he say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Look at the context. Verse 10, but I rejoice in the Lord greatly that now at last your care for me has flourished again. Though you surely did lack care, but you lacked, you surely did care, but you lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in regard to need, for I have learned in whatever state I am to be what? Have you seen contentment again? I know how to be abased, and I know how to what? Abound. Everywhere and in all things I have learned both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all these things through Christ who strengthens me. You know, that's an inner strength. Hunger, lack, and the man is strengthened, is going through all these seasons without being moved. That's not natural. Glory to God. And I'm saying to you that that strength comes from the word of God. Acts 15:32. As I begin to close, Acts 15:32. That strength is from the word of God. Acts 15 and 32. Hallelujah. Bible says, now Judas and Silas, themselves being prophets also, exhorted and strengthened the brethren with what? With what did they strengthen them? With many words. Glory to God. Are you feeling strengthened in this meeting? That's what we're saying. If you came here weak, depressed and all that, by now, those burdens should have lifted from your mind. So, the only thing that strengthens us as Christians is the word of God. So, Bible says they strengthened them with many words. They exhorted them. They taught them God's word. And they found strength in that. Look at Acts 16, 4 to 5. Acts 16, 4 to 5. In fact, quickly write this. We do not pray for strength as much as we feed for strength. We do not pray for strength as much as we feed for strength. Strength comes from feeding, not praying. Feeding. Nourishment. We do not pray for strength as much as we feed for strength. We do not pray for strength as much as we feed for strength. Glory to God. As much as we feed for strength. You will be strong. Put in your notes, you will be strong to the degree that you feed on the word of God. You'll be strong to the degree that you feed on the word of God. You will be strong to the degree that you feed on the word of God. Glory to God. Be strong to the degree that you feed on the word of God. Look at Acts 16, verse 4 to 5. Acts chapter 16, verse 4 to 5. You'll be strong to the degree that you feed on the word of God. Acts 16:45. And as they went through the cities, they delivered to them the decrees to keep, which were determined by the apostles and elders at Jerusalem. Verse 5. What happened to them? So the churches were what? Strengthened in the faith and increased in number daily. What strengthened them? The decrees of the apostles. The things they went to deliver to them. So strength is from feeding. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 to 21. See the example of Abraham. Bible says he was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. To be strengthened in faith, definitely, is about the word of God. Because faith is from the word. Romans then chapter 4. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 4. And I'll start reading from verse 16. It says, therefore it is of faith that it might be according to grace, so that the promise might be sure to all the seed, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of faith of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, I have made you the father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who contrary to hope in hope believed
so that he became the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Verse 19, let's all read together. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, it takes being strengthened by God to go through that kind of season. Hallelujah. To go through that kind of season. Barrenness till old age, and they were still expecting. Hallelujah. They were still expecting. So this strength is not natural. Left to the situation surrounding you, they ought to break you. Amen. But they cannot break you suddenly because you have strength in God and you can go through them. Look at this other place. Thank you, Father. Colossians in chapter 1. Colossians chapter 1. Say with me, God's word is life to me. Say with me, God's word is my light. Say with me, God's word is strength to me. Say with me, God's word is my sustenance. Hallelujah. Colossians 1 from verse 9. For this reason, we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. Is the emphasis here on knowledge? Knowledge, Abi? That men be filled with the knowledge of Christ. And then he says in verse 10, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing where? In the knowledge of God. Verse 11, the result of that, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious power, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Do you know what you just read? Do you know the implication of what you just read? Strengthened with might, for all patience and long suffering with joy. Hallelujah. Let me read you some versions. You know, that's NKJV. You may not really get what he's saying, but if you look at it very well, you get it. But look at the Amplified. It says, we pray that you may be invigorated and strengthened with all power, according to the might of his glory, to exercise every kind of endurance and patience, perseverance and forbearance with joy. That is, through all trials, through all situations, adverse circumstances, you are strengthened by God, by his knowledge, to a point where you can exercise endurance through it all. Hallelujah. All kinds of endurance. So, offenses, that's the reason why you will be able to forbear with people. You won't lose your cool easily. That's the reason why you'll be able to endure adverse circumstances. Every kind of situation. Because you have been what? Strengthened. Glory to God. See, that man is just strong. If you have an exam, chase him out of the house. Oh, wow. Let's pray for him. Oh. Let's pray for him. Oh. We are praying for him. Oh. Believing God. Oh. Believing God. Oh. Believing God. Oh. He had an accident. Ha! How is he, Sha? I'm just concerned. How is he? He's fine. He's actually doing fine. He's doing fine. When we even went to visit him, you know, Christians used to think some people like that, they are pretenders. Out of, you know, all those trials, all those problems, you now go and visit them. They now begin to teach you. As you're trying to comfort them, you say, ah, no, we are fine. God is our hope. He's our strength. God is our strength. Ah. Brother, be real with us. Oh. Amen. Be real. Oh. Not that we'll go now. You enter depression. Let's cry together. Let's cry together. He may not be crying. He may have gotten over it. Praise God. He might have moved on. Is it Paul you'll be trying to console because he's hungry? Do you get what I'm saying? He says, I'm strengthened by God. So he tells you, no, I'm fine. Yeah, are you sure you're fine? I'm fine. Someone says, ah, that's how it used to happen. They bottle it up. They bottle it up. One day, they will not be able to contain it. They will now. It's not like that for everybody. Because we are not bottling it up. It is that those pressures are lifted. It does not affect you. Glory to God. Do you know? You must develop strength to muffle the shocks of life. You must have strength to bear every shock that comes your way. That's what we are saying. So that when they come, they will not rip you apart. Some Christians don't like instructions like, or admonitions like, don't sorrow like the world when things go bad. Say, don't tell them. Nobody should tell people how to mourn. Nobody should tell people how to mourn. Okay, be mourning. Praise God. The person now mourns and enters depression. We now start saying,
Praise God. Medicine after death. When God says we should not sorrow like the world, it's not because he wants us to form macho. No. It is that the sorrow of the world is not healthy for you. Bible says the sorrow of this world produces death. Something has happened to somebody, and then you are very sad. You lost your job, you are very sad. From losing your job, you can now lose your mind. From losing your job, you can now lose your health. More things will now be lost. Do you get what I'm saying? So the instructions in scriptures is not because God does not understand. It is for your good. Count it all joy. Hallelujah. When you go through diverse trials. Why would he tell you that? Because that joy is your strength. Hallelujah. That is what you need to go through it. And I'm saying to you, it's not something you fake. You allow the word of God birth it. Inner strength is real. It is, if it's there, it's there. Hallelujah. If it is there, it is there. And it comes by consistently in taking the word of God. Till you are built. Hallelujah. Till you are built. There are certain things that make people tick in this life. God's word tallies above all as a Colossus. It makes you tick. Nothing can break you. Glory be to God. Not sickness, not affliction, nothing. Not the offense of men, not their bitterness, not the words of men, nothing. You are just strong because of how you've enriched your mind with the word of God. Hallelujah. Just to count it all joy. So you see, that was the strength the apostles enjoyed. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 to 17. Strength is real. Inner strength. It is so real. You are just fortified. You are fortified. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Thank God for the word. 2 Timothy 4. We've been emphasizing in this place for some weeks now, the place of daily receiving of God's word. If you have been doing it, you will have experienced what I'm teaching today. Everything I'm saying, you will have experienced it. If you have stayed with it, that is the reality. It will work for everybody. I have taken people from chronic depressive states out of it without therapy. God's word. It will always work. Glory to God. It will always work. So, but would men use it according to prescription? If he says meditate in it day and night and you do once in a week, it will not work. If he says to receive the word of God every day as newborn babies desire and you do it once or twice in a month or thrice, it will not work. It will be as good as you are doing nothing. It must be used to prescription. Glory to God. That's the way these things work. Go and practice it as it has been instructed and see if your life will not change. 2 Timothy 4 from verse 17, look at what it says. But the Lord stood with me, let me start from verse 16. At my first defense, no one stood with me, but all forsook me, may it not be charged against them. Verse 17, but the Lord stood with me. Did you see Paul's reaction? Immediately he could let go the offense. Why? The Lord stood with me and strengthened me so that the message might be fully preached to me, that all the Gentiles might hear. Glory to God. That's right. We are not just cut out for the good times alone. We are not just cut out for the good times alone. We are not just cut out for the good times alone. We are not just cut out for the good times alone. We thrive in all seasons. Hallelujah. We thrive in all seasons. Seasons, situations, circumstances, all those things, they don't determine our joy. We thrive in all seasons. Let's keep writing. We are not just cut out for good times alone. We thrive in all seasons. We are not eating the nail on the head. We are not eating the nail on the head. We are not eating the nail on the head. We are not eating the nail on the head. When we try to console people with good times alone, we are not eating the nail on the head. When we try to console people with good times alone, now I say, well, it will be fine. It will be fine. It's not really about when it will be fine. Now that things are not fine, you can have consolation. Hallelujah. That's what we're saying. So we are not eating the nail on the head. When we try to console people with good times alone, our consolation is the word of God, not in the good times. Our consolation is in the word of God, not in the good times. I'll show you a scripture. It should blow your mind. It blew mine. First time I saw it, I was like, what? Some men live like this, actually. And some men are still living like that. It's amazing. So, we are not to live, just be okay for the good times. Even the bad times, we are strengthened and we thrive through those seasons. We come out of them without any scars. Amen. Don't say, it was when I lost my job then. And I now discovered that my BP, from that time, it became irregular. No, your BP should remain the same, intact. When you had job, when you lost your job, when you got your job again, your BP should not change. Nothing in this world should affect your blood pressure. Hallelujah. Nothing. You shouldn't fall sick because of situations at all. You should be intact. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Because see, God can keep you in that state of perfect peace and wellness in spite of what is happening around you. 2 Corinthians in chapter 1, look at from verse 3. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5. 2 Corinthians 1 verse 3 to 5. Are you ready to pray? Are you ready to pray? You know the drill now, I told you. So, as we receive God's word, we get up, we sing, rejoice, and do what? Pray in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And then we get refreshed. Amen. So, when you get up, some of you who have not been here for the past few days, we've been having meetings from Wednesdays. When you get up, when it's time to pray, put yourself in it, put your attitude in it, sing out, and that's how to enjoy it. Oh. Amen. And by the time you are done, you are very refreshed. In fact, the reason why you are fed is so you can pray well. Hallelujah. So we'll have some powerful time. Glory to God. I said we're going to have some powerful time in the word of God and in prayers and then in songs, rejoicing. 2 Corinthians 1, verse 3 to 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and what? The God of all comfort. Verse 4. Who comforts us in all our tribulation. So there's tribulation, pressure, but God comforts us in all of them. It now says that we may be able to comfort those who are in any trouble with the comfort with which we ourselves are comforted by God. Verse 5, can we all read together? For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also abounds through Christ. What did you just read? Our sufferings are abounding. Consolation in Christ is also abounding through Christ. Tribulations in the world, sufferings from the world, yet much consolation through Christ. That's why Paul would say, we are troubled on every side, but not distressed. Persecuted, not abandoned. See, the situations and the trials could not affect them to a point where they became depressed or they lost their joy. They were built strong and tough for all seasons. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Put in your note, there is supernatural strength. There is supernatural strength. You know the function of prayer. There is supernatural strength. It is real. There is supernatural strength. But only those who stay with the word of God will experience it. There is supernatural strength. There is supernatural strength. But only those who stay with the word of God will experience it. Sometimes I feel such pity, great pity and sympathy for people who stay away from God's word. I feel great pity. I feel great pity and sympathy because I know how I used to be. One time in this church, I was gisting, was it Deji and Perez and some guys. I was telling them, I said, do you know I used to be an emotional wreck? They all looked at me. They said, unbelievable. I said, unbelievable. I used to cry on every matter. My parents, you know, go and ask my brother, go and ask my mom, my dad. Emotional wreck. Could not undo anything. Any small thing, I'm crying. You know, and most times people give you counsel or advice from their own experiences. In that state, you know what I'll be telling people? Let people be. Skinny, let them express themselves. See, until I grieve. That's when I understood. That thing was not strength. That was weakness. The day the transformation came, see, in Kotoma, you me no do me. I try. Right now, I'm telling you, what will come out water for my eyes He go try. I remember the day my brother spotted it. There was an incident, some people that they murdered unjustly. And so he was watching the video, he was wrecked. So I saw it and I said, wow, this world, very terrible, it's bad. The world, that's just the world. And I was going. He looked at me like, so he called me, he said, the next, he said, what happened to you? I said, how? I didn't even know. So he said, I noticed, I said, oh, really? So you think it is me that will now lose one document on Microsoft Word and be crying? What did you learn here? I'm my wife, she's my wife, praise God. So, see, I did not cry. And it was not because I was stone-hearted. I felt compassion for them, but I used to say this. If you will mourn with those who mourn, like they mourn every time, you will not have joy. So, the day of your own mourning is going to come. You know, in this world, there's a time to weep, there's a time to laugh, there's a time to cry and all that. So, if I want to cry with everybody that lost a job, I will not have joy. Because, see, I cannot even cry like you in that matter. Amen? If somebody loses a loved one, the truth is, don't expect everybody to feel that same emotional, you know. No! No, it's a kotie, nisim party. No, it's not feeling it. For instance, if he does not know the best thing, do you get what I'm saying? So he can only feel pity for you. Well, wow, you lost somebody. But he cannot cry like you. I remember we lost somebody and somebody came around and said, oh, sorry. You know the next thing? The person went to pick food and ate and went home. And you know, was gloomy while he was eating, though. Was feeling sad, eating. The people that lost the best thing could not eat. So, you don't look at such a man and say, ah, man, oh, bad, gone. No. The day he also loses somebody, you'll not be there to cry like that. So, I cannot be crying like that. Hallelujah. Jesus crying over, he wept at the tomb of Lazarus. How many people will he cry over? You think Jesus will have joy? You can't cry for everybody like that. So, when it gets to a point where every news, Boko Haram killed 20 people. You cry. They beg you. Don't think you are compassionate. You can't share. You are weak. There is an emotional weakness. You see another news. COVID killed. Every day, you will lose your mind. So there has to be strength to respond to those news. Glory to God. There has to be strength. And such that even in your own cases, things that, you know, you had every right to mourn and all that, I believe now says to not sorrow as the world. Because there's a way the world sorrows. So, you just think you are being real, you are being kinikon, till you are destroyed. Till your emotions are wrecked entirely. And you know, people like that, they take advantage of them. If you're in a relationship with somebody who is manipulative, and he notices you cry over everything, forget it. You are gone. He will make you cry in every situation. He knows how to manipulate you. Tears will start coming out. But the day you are strong is the day you will resist whatever he's saying and you stand against it and you walk out. They manipulate people who are emotionally weak in the world. It is not strength. You must grow out of it. And that growth is by the word of God. Because me, I didn't try to want to get better. I just noticed after I had gone through seasons of retreat, learning God's word, it has just changed me. Hallelujah. Do you know there are people that will be crying like this and you must not cry with them. Because the cry is fake. Amen. What he wants is a hug. So as he's crying, he said, okay, when you are done. I've met people like that. When you are done. Are you done? Yeah, let's come back to the matter. Don't cry here. Praise God. It's not cry matter. Look at this man that went to court, that went to act like cripple. You know, if you are discerning, you know, it's a lie. Put his leg like this. Let me carry. And he got to the hotel and dropped the crutches. He went to pray to his God. Praise God. Weakness everywhere. That's because people are emotionally imbalanced. Life has dealt with you. You don't even know how to respond anymore. Amen. But I'm saying if you stay in God's word, this thing called financial strength, it is real. It will just change everything. You'll be mentally strong, emotionally strong. It won't be all tears. Every time, tears. See, people cry to a point where even good news, they cry. Good things, see, it's tears of joy. It's tears of joy. Why is tears the response? Emotions. And you need to be strong. If you walk under a boss that is toxic, you are gone. In that state, you are gone. You cry every day, it will make your life miserable. You cry every day. Another person will be in the same place and not be moved. It is strength. It is for your own good. But you cannot get it outside commitment to God's word. Humanity is sick. When we say in conscience, Bible says the heart of man is wicked and desperately evil. Who can know it? And I shared with you that evil is not that people are bad. The word evil in the Hebrew means is sick and incurable. There's a sickness in his heart. And until he's made whole by the word of God, forget it. His experiences will never be healthy. Glory to God. This is very important. Supernatural strength is real. Look at Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Very real. Emotional wreck. I used to, everything broke me. Everything. Everything. Ah, short man devil. Some people, short man, you start crying. Are you a devil? Everything. People just get at you. The world is such a place. Isaiah 40, verse 28 to 31. Isaiah 40, 28 to 31. So you know there are people who are on the extreme of you must cry, you must never cry. That's an extreme. Because the Bible says to mourn with those who mourn. One, the Bible says to sorrow, not as the world. So there are times when people will cry. There are times when, for instance, we are studying warfare. And we saw how in the early church, when Stephen died, the Bible says devout men made lamentation for him. They cried. But that was not sorrowing like the world to a point where they could now not move, they could do nothing again, they were now crippled and handicapped. No, so but a man that cries every time, that's another extreme. So, those things, you know, because it's God that made those things, God gave you that. There's a reason why you have tears in your box, wherever. So, but it is not to be used anyhow, it is not to make you weak and you know, just lose your calm. Lose your joy at every opportunity. No. There's a reason for it. Glory to God. So you use it well. How many times did Jesus cry? Go and find two scriptures. Why did Jesus even cry? Why did he cry? Because it doesn't make sense. He was going to raise Lazarus. So why did he cry? Why did he cry? Have you found out before? Eh? It was mourning with them. But he was going to raise him now. Because of their unbelief. You know, they were about to prevent a miracle from happening. If you had been here, don't worry. I'm here now. Say, no, I know that he will rise again on the resurrection day. That's what Martha said. It's not resurrection day. It's now. Let's go. He got there. People began to cry. Bible says he groaned in his spirit and he wept. Because they were about to prevent a miracle. So he cried because of their unbelief. So when they believed, when they were ready, he says, if you believe, you do what? You see the glory of God. They had to believe. So when that was in place, he performed the miracle. So it's not some just an emotional time where he felt he was helpless about the situation. So Isaiah 40, are we here? Isaiah chapter 40, verse 28 to 31. Have you not known? Have you not heard? Have you not understood? Okay, have you not heard? The everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is what? Neither faints nor is what? His understanding is what? Unsearchable. He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. Glory to God. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall faint. They shall walk and not what? And not faint. Glory to God. You shall walk and not faint. So you see that. Let's write. You see that in waiting upon the Lord, we pick up his own strength. See that in waiting upon the Lord, we pick up his own strength. She that in waiting upon the Lord, waiting upon the Lord, we pick up his own strength. Glory to God. We pick up his own strength. let me quickly share with you some godly uses of tears. You know, when you catch a burden for the souls of men, have you seen people cry in prayer? The people are perishing. When Jesus was going to the cross, the Bible says he agonized. He wept in prayer because of what he was about to do. These are godly uses. It comes. It's a body. It will be spontaneous. Hallelujah. People also cry during worship. Have you noticed? They're singing and then, in awe, it just dawns on you. Wow, you're loved. And all that. So, God put it there for a reason. Amen. It's an emotion. However, it must not rule your life. It must not be the response to everything. That thing is a symptom of hopelessness. A symptom of, I can do nothing about it. A symptom of, well, I'm overwhelmed. Why is all this happening? Everything is out of control. So, but when the word of God sits in your mind, it takes care of that. Hallelujah. It gives you strength. So, it says to those who are weak, he increases strength. Those who have no might. The youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall what? Renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like what? Eagles. They shall run and not be. They shall walk and not faint. Hallelujah. Do you believe this? They will run and not be weary. God's own kind of strength. You just begin to mirror the same strength that God has. And this is spiritual. Because if we say God never faints nor is weary, we're not talking about physical body. God is spirit. So there's a spiritual strength which you operate in if you wait upon the Lord. Hallelujah. If you wait upon the Lord. The analogy of the eagle here is so key, because the eagle does not use its strength as much as it soars the highest and it reaches the highest of the heights. It is not using its strength. It's not banking on its own strength. So when he says you mount up wings like eagles, it's because the eagle uses another strength entirely. As he gets there, he now begins to glide his wings above the torrents and the winds and all that. He's not using effort. So he's not flapping his wings anymore. He just glides it. That's the secret behind the eagle flying, above those places, above the heights that others cannot even get to. They meet eagles. When you fly in a plane, you can come in contact with eagles. They can fly that high. But it is not because they are using extra strength. They will have fallen. But it's because they are not doing anything but just gliding and coasting on the strength that is supplied them. Glory to God. That's what he's saying. So those who wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They will get a new strength. They will receive a new strength. And that will be the secret of their running and not being weary. Psalm 27 and verse 14. Psalm 27, 14. Psalm 27, 14. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Psalm 27, verse 14. What does this say? Are you there? Psalm 27, 14. Let's all read together. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall what? Strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Have you seen the result of waiting? It shall strengthen where? Your heart. Psalm 31, verse 24. This supernatural strength is so real. If a man commits himself with an undivided attention to God's word, he would experience this supernatural strength. Psalm 31, 24. Are we all there? Let's all read. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all you who hope in the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's write. All the pressures in the world are for one purpose, to weaken you. All the pressures in the world are for one purpose, to weaken you. To weaken you. All the pressures in the world are for one purpose, to weaken you. Amen. I don't believe in the theory that women are emotionally weaker. I don't believe in it. I don't. But you know, if people walk in the natural and they don't allow God's word to influence them, that thing will be playing out as true. But it's not true. It is not. See that it's women that fall prey of certain things in the body of Christ. They are the ones who fall the most. They are the ones, you know, who get into problem with a prophet that is misusing them and all that. So, but if you walk in the strength of God, you just discover that you not act like the norm out there. You'll be strong. Nobody can take you for a ride. Nobody can just walk over you. You are strong. You are balanced. Amen. You are balanced. One of the things that happened in the world circle some years back was how women were like men in how they acted. See, you get? In how they responded to matters. You hear a very terrible news and the person says, let's pray. And you're like, wow. You get? They were... You see mosquito, cockroach. All those things women used to do, they stopped it. You see, they see cockroach, they trample on it, they kill it. See rats, they were killing all those things themselves. Because see, at that point in time, it was not a feminine thing anymore that was ruling them. Do you know that women even learn those things sometimes by association? You were in the midst of people who were afraid of cockroach. So every time a normal response from all of you is, come and help us kill it. A snake can enter your house as a lady and you will kill the snake. Do you agree with this? But it's like, you quickly climb the cupboard. What is this? You now call the man. God help you, you marry the man like a woman. He also comes. Snake! You should be able to pick something and say, where's the snake? Look for the snake and kill it. Glory to God. And then, so, imagine the awkwardness. Because a woman, full grown, will run from a cockroach and a child, a boy of 10 years old, honey, tell me, buy me pack in here, buy me pack. Does it make sense? So, because he's a boy, he will now be the one to go and say, well, I've killed it, mommy. Do you know what he just did? Praise God. It doesn't make sense. You run away, your small boy comes to help you kill the rats. It doesn't make sense. All those feminine things will die when the word of God gains root in your heart. I remember one time we had a meeting in this place. Was it Ronke that was saying that whenever she gets home, these dogs, they used to come around and then become, and then she used to run every time. But after having a series of meetings here, she just got home that day. As they were coming like this, nothing. She just could not respond the same way. She just walked inside. That's what we are saying. You don't say, it's a woman. It's not a woman thing. There are men who also fear like that. So all those things will die because of how you have enriched your mind with the word of God. Glory be to God. So all the pressures of life are meant to weaken you. Only the word of God is a shield from all such. All the pressures of life are meant to weaken you. Only the word of God is a shield from all such. Only the word of God is a shield from all such. You can't be quoting, there's neither male nor female in Christ Jesus. There's neither male nor female, and you are still acting like the normal woman out there. That means you've not allowed that reality done on you. Glory to God. See, you can do everything a man can do in Christ. You can be that strong. Because when God made it, it was not about man or woman. It's creatures, all of us. Equally strengthened. Hallelujah. Equal abilities. So you can do, you can respond to matters like a man. You can respond to matters. There should be no dichotomy. Amen. We should just see strength in all. Glory to God. Strength. We should see balance, emotional strength and balance in everybody. Because the fruit of the Spirit is not gender selective, is it? The gift of the Spirit is not gender selective, is it? The leading of the Spirit is not gender selective, is it? The things you'll be studying is money. Is it about one gender? Everybody's strength, power, might, glory to God. That's what we're saying. You don't pass by a place where they are selling coffin and then you quickly walk fast. Some people cannot walk beside the graveyard. They will quickly increase their steps. What's happening? You think they are going to come out? Amen. You've watched Thriller. Michael Jackson. They are not going to come out. And if they come out, you have power in the name of Jesus to send them back. Praise God. Because anything that comes out there is a demon. So, you act different because of the state of your mind. Right now, you are filled with the consciousness of God's power, God's authority, God's might, God's dominion. Glory to God. So, nothing in the natural moves you.
God is your shield.
Genesis 15 verse 1. God is our shield and our defense from all those things. From the pressures of life. From the evil around. God is our shield. So when we stay in the word of God, we are conscious of the fact that we have a defense against all things. We have a shield. We have a strength that is much more than what we can get in the natural. Genesis 15 verse 1. Are we all there? Let's all read together. The Lord spoke to Abraham saying what? Do not be afraid. I am your shield and your exceedingly great reward. Let's write. The word shield in the Hebrew means defense, protector. The word shield in the Hebrew means defense, protector. Hallelujah. The word shield in the Hebrew means a defense or protector. The word reward in the Hebrew, that's the Hebrew word saka. Saka. S-A-K-A-R. The word reward is the Hebrew word saka, which is not just descriptive of a pay. It also means benefit. So God was telling Abraham, I am your benefit. Hallelujah. That is, I'm beneficial to you, like no other. I am your shield and I'm your benefit. Glory to God. God is our benefit and is our shield. So shield means protector. Let's read through these scriptures in quick successions. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 4. I won't explain anything. We'll just read and you see for yourself. Then we can come back to this later. 2 Samuel 22. God is our shield. Hallelujah. God is our shield. He's our shield. He defends us against everything. When our mind is well immersed in the word of God, we are shielded from every circumstance. We are shielded from the effects of every evil out there. We can go through things, but things don't define who we are. They don't define how we respond to them. 2 Samuel chapter 22, verse 1 to 4. Are you all there? Let's all read. Then David spoke to the Lord the words of this song on the day when the Lord had delivered him from the hand of his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, the Lord is my rock and my fortress, my deliverer, the God of my what? The God of my what? So who is the God of our strength? So where is your strength from? God, the God of my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold and my refuge, my Savior. Will you save me from what? From violence. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. Psalm chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. God is our shield, is our defense against all. Psalm 3, verse 1 to 3. Lord, how they have increased who trouble me. Many are they who rise up against me. Many are they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But you, O Lord, are what? A shield for me, my glory, and the one who lifts up my head. Glory to God. You are a shield for me. Psalm 18, verse 1 to 2. Psalm 18, verse 1 to 2. Thank God for the word. Psalm 18 and verse 1 to 2. Is anyone troubled? Is anyone burdened, weary? Is anyone losing his mind? Stay right in the word of God and you'll find sanity. Hallelujah. You'll find peace. You'll find a repairing by the word of God. Psalm 18 verse 1 to 2. Let's all read together. I love you, O Lord, my what? My strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. My God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation and my stronghold. Glory to God. Look at verse 30. Psalm 18 verse 30. God is our shield. Hallelujah. As for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is proven. He is a shield to all who trust in him. Have you seen it? God is what? A shield to all who trust in him. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Psalm 28 and verse 7. Thank God for the word. Bible says, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in him and I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoices and with my song I will praise him. Psalm 33 verse 20 to 22. God is our shield, is our help, is our fortress, is our refuge. And we have to walk in this reality by staying right in his word. Glory to God. Psalm 33 verse 20 to 22. Are you there? Are you there? Let's go together. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our hearts shall rejoice in him. Because we have trusted in his holy name. Hallelujah.
Because we have trusted in what? In his holy name. Glory to God. Look at Psalm 91. Psalm 91. 1 to the end. Very powerful psalm. It applies to that which we have in Christ Jesus. Psalm 91. Verse 1 to the end. Glory to God. Psalm 91. 1 to the end. Let's all go together. He who dwells where? In the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my what? Refuge and my fortress. My God, in him I will what? Trust. Surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. He shall cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you shall take refuge. His truth shall be your what? Shield and your buckler. What is his truth to you? Your shield and your buckler. Glory to God. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night. Have you seen? Nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Only with your eyes shall you look and see the reward of the wicked, because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, your dwelling place. No evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent you shall trample underfoot, because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble, and I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and show him my what? My salvation. Glory to God.
You see, many of the things mentioned in this place, they sound like some promises, some things that will happen to you, whether or not you are committed to the Lord, or whether or not you have your gaze on him. But that's not it. It says he who abides in the secret place of the Most High. Glory to God. It is not a blanket thing. Just live your life anyhow. And then, no. Do you know that Jesus, the way he responded to Satan when Satan quoted from this scripture, he says, you shall serve the Lord your God, you shall love the Lord your God, you shall, you know, only him shall you serve and all that. So it is in that place of walking with God, staying. Because if you come to Ephesians 6, you get what Paul was saying. He says, put on the whole armor of what? That you may be able to stand against. So you see that it is not automatic. He says to put on the whole armor so that you can withstand. The very thing the psalmist describes in Psalm 91, his truth that is a shield and a buckler for you. Paul says, taking on the shield of faith that you may quench the fiery darts of the enemy. Hallelujah. So you see that it's not automatic. That's why Christians have varying experiences. Varying experiences. Some folks, by virtue of their vigilance and sensitivity to the things of the Spirit, they are delivered from certain evils. Others just walk into it. Bible says, a wise man foreseeth evil, a discerning man foreseeth evil and takes cover. A foolish man goes on and is punished. So, because of lack of discernment and sensitivity, you can be right in the midst of danger and you feel nothing. And you don't know till he overtakes you. Another person walks through that path and feels, wow, this is not safe, this place is not safe, let me get out of here. And just like that, he's delivered. There's no partiality on the path of God. It is our individual sensitivity. One man walks across the railway, and as he's walking across it, his headphones are on, and then the railway is blasting, leave the road, and then he's eventually destroyed. Another person walks there, takes safety precautions. Don't use earpiece when you are walking on the road. And that's the reason why he's delivered. He can hear when people say, wow, look at your back. Do you get what I'm saying? So if your mind is dull and insensitive, you can't be saying, where was God? Where was God? He was speaking, but you were not listening. He was speaking, but you could not hear. Because your mind was crowded with all kinds of irrelevancies. Noise, worry, anxiety, fear. But the moment you still your mind with the word of God, it becomes easy to discern what God is saying. You see that hearing God is not rocket science. It's so simple. You can know what God wants you to do, where he wants you to be at every given point in time. And it will come easy. But the first thing is we must stay right in the place of the word of God. Glory to God. Must stay right in the place of the word of God. Psalm 119, last scripture. Psalm 119, verse 114. So there's no partiality. I said this many years ago. God is not keeping anybody. Listen and listen good. God is not keeping anybody. What God did was to provide the protection. He provided how to keep yourself. Amen. He's not keeping anybody. It's like saying soldiers, they get to the war, they leave their ammunition, everything at home, and they are now saying, where is the government now? Government is not helping us. Government gave you what you should use to fight. If you drop in the house and you go to the battlefront without your armor, you are naked and you are open to attacks. So we are given weapons of warfare, right? We are given the armor of God. So with that armor, you should what? Fight. Wage a good warfare. Take a stand. You don't say, well, only God. No! God has given you what it takes to keep yourself. So that's why you cannot joke with your spirituality. You cannot joke with your walk with God, because your Christianity is the shield for your life. Your Christianity is the shield for your life. Glory to God. Psalm 119, verse 114. It's not everybody that is subject to chance. No. Some folks are walking in actual security, actual certainty. They know nothing will go wrong. Hallelujah. Because of their walk. Because of their sensitivity. Praying always. And you know, Bible says, be vigilant in the same with thanksgiving. A vigilant man cannot be caught unawares. Glory to God. Psalm 119. Are you here? Psalm 119 verse 114. Thank you, Jesus. See, there is more to gain in being Christians than in being mere men. There is more. Psalm 119 verse 114. Are you there now? Let's all read together. You are my what? You are my hiding place and my shield. I hope in your what? In your word. You are my hiding place and my what? And my shield. And I hope in your word. Glory to God. Let's lift our hands and give him praise. Thank him. Be on your seat. Just give him praise. Thank him. Thank him. Give him praise. There is more to gain in being Christians than in being mere men. You can't make progress beyond your commitment. Jesus paid the price for salvation. You paid the price for your spiritual growth. You see, it's a price you must pay. That is what makes the difference between those who bear fruit and those who don't. God has no barren people. But to the degree that every one of us who allow the word of God influence us, will bear fruit. Will bear fruit. Lift your hands and give him praise and thank him. The weakness to first combat is the weakness of not being committed to God's word. The moment you can overcome that one, everything is done. 90% of your problems are solved. 90%. The moment you can resolve that one, 90% of your problem are solved. You are solved. You just discover you have a sane mind to approach issues. You are sound. Your judgments are sound. Your associations are healthy. You have strength to withstand the pressures of life. Everything life throws at you, there's a shield of faith. A defense for your life. That's what we're saying. Thank you, Jesus. Let's rise to our feet. Come on, fill this room with your voices. Fill this room with your voices. Sing to him. Sing to him. Make melody in your heart to the Lord. Give him the fruit of your lips. Go ahead now. I can't hear you. Go ahead. Give him the fruit of your lips now. Give him the fruit of your lips now. When we say rejoice, you rejoice. When we say let's rejoice, you rejoice. Scream aloud and shout for joy. Come on, go ahead. Don't just stay on one spot looking melancholy. It's a time for rejoicing and getting refreshed. Go ahead now. Hey! Come on, give him the fruit of your lips. Give him the fruit of your lips now. Hey, 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 hey. Give him the fruit of your lips now. Give him the fruit of your lips now. Bella bolo so tele gelia della bella shot. Bello gole mare dea. Come on, come on, come on, come on. Bella da la da, ele da la da, ele da la da le da. Belli tele tele gelia della. Yes, give you all the praise, Lord. Lift your hands and give him praise. Lift your voices and say, God is good. Lift your voices and sing of his goodness, of his mercies, of his grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Sing about his steadfast love. Sing about his unfailing mercy. Sing about his joy. Joy like a river in my soul. Hey, hey. Sing about his goodness. Woo! Sing about his mercies. Sing about his grace. Sing about his joy. Joy like a river. Woo! River in my soul now. Sing about his goodness. Hey. Sing about his mercies. Sing about his grace and his joy like a river. Woo! Joy like a river. Hallelujah. Give him the fruit of your lips now. Tela 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 tela. Pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving, I am a living sanctuary for you. Everybody say you, a sanctuary, pure and holy, Lord, tried and true. With thanksgiving, I am a leader. Sanctuary, Jesus, for you. Oh, you have made me. Sanctuary, pure and holy, Lord. Yes, right. With thanksgiving, I am a leader. Sanctuary, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Come on, go ahead and rejoice. Thanksgiving, yeah. I'll be a living sanctuary. Sanctuary. With thanksgiving. With thanksgiving. I am a living sanctuary for you. Listen, listen. When we say rejoice, we didn't say to lift your hand. We mean to rejoice. Glory to God. Let's go ahead and rejoice. Hallelujah. Hey. Listen. Hallelujah. Do you know why rejoicing is powerful? It's one of the ways to quickly let the burdens of your heart go. Hallelujah. That's why it's very powerful. Now, that's why when you read through scriptures, you see that a major feature of our songs or singing in Zion is rejoicing. Even God, Bible says he will rejoice over you with singing. So when we sing, singing is incomplete if we don't rejoice and be glad in him. Hallelujah. Let's go ahead. Woo! Hey, 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 hey. Hallelujah. Glory. With thanksgiving, hey, I am a leader. Thank you.
sanctuary.
Sanctuary.
Pure and holy,
Lord.
Perfect and true.
We
thanksgiving. I am
unleavened.
Sanctuary, Lord. And hallelujah, oh my soul will sing. Hallelujah, 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 oh my soul will sing. Woo!
Hallelujah,
hallelujah,
oh my soul will sing. Hallelujah,
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 hallelujah.
You brought me over, you brought me over. Oh, my soul will sing. You brought me over.
Oh, my soul.
Oh, my soul.
You brought me over. Go ahead and pray. Shada bela gela turi giba sata mala grada magre gele gele ande la bayasi. Gele 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 gele. Tola manda sata la bala gelia de la grada bala gelia. Hey, you are the mighty God, the great I am. Hallelujah. say
hallelujah.
The great I am.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
You are
the mighty God.
The great I am.
Hallelujah.
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 You are the mighty God.
The great I am.
The great I am.
Hallelujah.
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 I told you,
lift your voice and bless his name and give him praise. I tell you, Ghana, the proper lady, I give the woman a shot. Hela da 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 ragaba shata legene ne credu su te palianta. Oh Jesus. Hele tele tele gele ne dia de la malande. Tale de li de la malanda le grande non ne asata. E bale de di non si asa. Oh Jesus. Oh Jesus. E dan dan da da re ne ya de la malande. Oh Jesus. Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent reigner. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah, for the Lord God. Omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, 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 praise the Lord.
One more time, hallelujah,
hallelujah, for the Lord God. Omnipotent reigneth.
Hallelujah,
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 praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
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 Praise the Lord.
Just a voice.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
For the Lord.
For the Lord God. Omnipotent reigner.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Lift the voices and say,
for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth. Hallelujah, hallelujah, praise the Lord.
One more time, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, for the Lord God, omnipotent reigneth.
God, you are good.
Hallelujah,
you are good.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord. Oh,
oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, oh, o
Thank you, Jesus. Go ahead and pray about your week. Pray about your week. Pray about your week. Oh, Jesus. Jesus! Oh, yes, we receive safety for our loved ones. We receive safety in the name of Jesus. Safety. Safety. No victims. Yes. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, Lord. Pray, keep praying. Pray about your week. Some of you are receiving direction by the Spirit of God. You know, you came into the meeting with bodies, conflicts as it were, troubles, but clarity is coming now. Direction. Clarity is coming. Direction.
For he descends to worry. God is here.
He is here. To heal the broken heart.
Oh, come lay down. The God is in at the end.
Hallelujah.
God is here.
Thank you, Jesus. I see bodies lifted. That's why we took that song. Bodies yoked, lifted, destroyed. Things you carried around as baggages in the past few years. There's a dissolving by the power of God. There is a dissolving by the power of God. You alone will know what that stuff is. Couple of people, bodies, baggages, bodies lifted by the power of God. Some of you, light just came into your mind concerning something. Light. And you're no longer in the dark. You're no longer puzzled and confused. Clarity has come. You know what to do in this meeting. Just right here. Right now. Thank you, Jesus. We receive healings for our bodies. We receive healings for our bodies. We receive healings for our bodies. Healings. Healings. Both diagnosed and undiagnosed conditions. Healed by the power of God. The power of the Lord is working. Glory to God. See, one of the things the Lord told me in the past 1 week was how, you know, there used to be a time when, while ministering, the course of my ministry, there used to be a time when, while teaching God's word alone, just teaching, a lot of things, you know, just break out by way of healing and all. And then it came to me again as a reminder that, see, that operation is still active. It's present. Glory to God. That as we teach, as we preach the word of God, even before we sing, before we pray for anybody, things are already happening by the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. So come to church expectant and watch it. You will see. Come to church expectant, you get home and you discover that it's gone. Glory to God. I think it was Ojiame. Do you remember a midweek service like that? So it came with a condition that I'd been there for 15 years. And as we taught, just simply that night, simply, and as he was going home, he came to him that you've been healed. And then he went for it. He tested it and everything, and that was it. Glory to God. See, those things are happening, and they will keep happening in our midst. Amen. But I want you to have an expectation, so you don't come to church thinking it's just one of those guys. No, a lot has happened in this place. Glory to God. In this meeting today, a lot has happened. Our paths have been straightened. Glory to God. Our paths have been straightened. Things have been aligned together by the Spirit of God. Lift your hands and thank Him and give Him praise as we close. Thank you, Jesus. We worship You. We give You praise. We give You praise. We give You praise.
Bread of life, sent down from glory. Many things You are done. Bread of life, bread of life, sent from heaven. Glory, many things You are. Oh, You are on that. You are the living one. Jesus, that's what we call You. That's what we call You. Jesus, oh, 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 oh. You are the living one. Jesus, that's what we call You. Major bone, but on God. Major bone, but on the tree. You died to save humanity.
You are the living one.
The links on Mr. Lau, the group.
You are the living one. You are the living one.
Oh,
Lord.
God. All right.